Welcome back, Deep Divers. Today, we are going deep, like microscopic level deep, into the world of beetle cuticles.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be fun.
We're talking about a paper, and I'll admit the title's a bit of a mouthful.
I know. It's a long one.
Dual chiral structures in the cuticle of Protacea mirifica, analyzed with Mueller matrix spectroscopic ellipsometry.
Mueller matrix ellipsometry.
But don't worry, we'll break it all down for you.
Yeah, we will.
The big picture. Some beetles are like tiny optical engineers creating these wild visual effects just using the structure of their exoskeletons.
It's true. Built-in light show right there on their backs. It's pretty amazing.
Totally. And this paper is all about cracking the code of how they do it.
Absolutely.
I mean, think about it. You've seen those beetles, right? The ones with those crazy shimmery colors.
Yeah, yeah.
Almost metallic looking. Changes depending on how the light hits it.
Like a shifting kind of color.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where the idea of circular polarization comes into play. Apparently, it's pretty rare in nature.
It is.
Which is part of what makes these beetles so special. But I got to ask.
What's that?
Circular polarization.
Yeah.
What exactly is that? I'm picturing those polarized sunglasses, but something tells me this is a whole other level.
You're on the right track, actually. So with light, right, think of it as a wave and it's vibrating. Polarized sunglasses basically block out some of those vibrations, like in certain directions. But with circular polarization, the light wave isn't just vibrating, it's spinning, like actually spinning in a circle.
Okay, hold on. I got to picture this. Like a lasso kind of spinning through the air.
Perfect analogy. And most light sources, you know, like the sun, they don't just make this spinny light naturally. But these beetles, they figured out how to create it and reflect it. That's how they get that crazy sheen.
So this isn't about pigment then, right? Like how a bluebird gets its color. It's about the structure of the beetle shell itself.
You got it. It's all about structure. The paper gets up close and personal with the exocuticle, which is like the outermost layer of the shell. Think of it like a cake, okay? You got the thin layer on top, the icing.
The epicuticle.
Right.
I remember that from our prep.
Bingo. The epicuticle. And then under that is where things get real interesting.
Ah, so that's where we're going microscopic. What's happening down there?
Okay, picture this. Plywood. But instead of just flat sheets, each layer is a little twisted compared to the one above it.
Twisted plywood. Okay, that's a wild image.
Yeah, it's called a boulogne structure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's made of this stuff called chitin, which is basically what makes up insect exoskeletons in general.
So wait, the twisted layers create the circularly polarized light? How does that work?
It's about how the light interacts with those layers. It bounces around in there between the twists. And depending on how much those layers are twisted, certain wavelengths of light, they get reflected back out as, you guessed it, circularly polarized light.
So like a hall of mirrors, but for light waves. Not reflecting an image, but changing the light itself.
Perfect. That's a great way to think about it. And now, get this, the beetle we're talking about today, Protacea mirifica, doesn't just have one boulogne structure, it's got two.
Whoa, double the twisted plywood. What does that look like?
It creates this super unique look because those two structures, they make two separate bands of circularly polarized light that get reflected. One centered around 474 nanometers, so that's in the blue part of the spectrum. And then another one's around 770 nanometers, which is near infrared.
Wait, near infrared, but we can't even see that, right?
Yeah.
So why doesn't this beetle just look blue then?
Because the beetle's cuticle is also absorbing some of those wavelengths, right? So it's like this mix of that blue light being reflected, some light being absorbed, and then the effect of those two chiral structures. That's what gives Protacea mirifica its look, kind of this dark purple with that metallic sheen.
So like a super complex recipe, basically. We've got the chitin, we've got the twisted layers.
Yeah.
But there's more to it than that, right? What else is determining which wavelengths get reflected?
That's where this idea of pitch comes in. Think about a spiral staircase, right? The pitch is like the distance between those full turns. So here, the pitch of that boulogne structure, it decides which wavelengths get reflected as circularly polarized light.
Okay, so tighter turns, that means a smaller pitch, which would reflect shorter wavelengths.
Usually, yeah.
Yeah.
You got it.
And Protacea mirifica has two different pitches, so that's how we get those two bands of circular polarization, one in the blue range and one we can't even see. But how did the scientists figure out the pitch in the first place? It's microscopic.
Super high-tech stuff. They used something called Mueller matrix spectroscopic ellipsometry, or MMSE for short. It's basically shining light on the beetle's cuticle and then analyzing how that light changes after it bounces back. By looking at the patterns in the reflected light, they can like reverse engineer the pitch of that Boolean structure.
So it's like detective work with light, using light to measure something we can't even see.
Exactly. And here's the kicker. What they found is the pitch in Protea mirifica. It isn't constant. It changes as you go deeper into the cuticle. Isn't that wild?
Hold on, so the pitch changes with depth. What does that do to the light?
All right, so picture this. For the first 4 micrometers or so, the pitch is pretty consistent, around 310 nanometers. But then, bam, at a depth of about 4.5 micrometers, it jumps to 440 nanometers.
Whoa, that's a big jump.
It is. And then from there, it gradually increases as you go deeper until it gets to around 575 nanometers.
Okay, so not just one pitch, but like a whole gradient of them. Each one tuned to a different wavelength. It's like an orchestra, but with color.
That's a great way to put it. It is like an orchestra, a very well-tuned orchestra, actually. And that brings us to one of the most amazing things they found in this paper, the beetle cuticle. It's not just a static structure. It actually behaves differently depending on what kind of light is hitting it.
Wait, so it's not just reflecting, it's changing how it interacts with different kinds of light. What's going on there?
Well, the beetle cuticle is like,
yeah,
it's like a two-in-one,
yeah.
You know? Two-in-one?
Like it acts like a mirror,
okay,
but also like a circular polarizer. It's crazy.
Whoa, okay, hold on. I get the mirror part, but remind me about the circular polarizer thing again.
Yeah, remember we were talking about light waves spinning, like, in a circle for circular polarization?
Right, like a lasso.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the circular polarizer, it only lets through light that's spinning a certain way, like a bouncer at a super exclusive club, only for light.
Gotcha. So it filters out the light that's not spinning right. But hold up, how can it be both? Like a mirror and a polarizer? Shouldn't it be one or the other?
I know, right? That's what makes it so cool. The beetle cuticle, it actually switches back and forth depending on the wavelength of the light hitting it.
No way, seriously.
Yeah. So at some wavelengths, it's like a regular mirror just bouncing back most of the light. But then at those specific wavelengths, the ones that match up to those circular polarization bands, it's like, boom, circular polarizer mode activated.
So it's like a chameleon changing how it acts depending on the light. You got it, a chameleon of light.
That's wild. But how'd they figure that out?
They use this thing called some decomposition. Basically, it's a way to take that data from the MMSE. Remember
Yeah,
that?
the super high-tech light detective work.
Yep. So some decomposition takes that data and kind of breaks it down. It's like, okay, what kind of optical pieces would you need to build to get the same results? And that's how they found this mirror polarizer, two-in-one action.
Okay, so we've got this crazy complex structure, right?
Yeah.
Making circular polarization, switching between these different modes. But the big question is why? Why go through all this trouble? What's the evolutionary advantage for the beetle?
That's the million-dollar question.
Right.
Honestly, we don't know for sure yet. There's lots of ideas out there, but scientists are still trying to crack the code.
So what are the leading theories? Why are these beetles so fancy?
Well, one idea is communication, you know.
Okay.
Lots of animals use visual cues to talk to each other.
Right.
So maybe this circular polarization is like their secret language.
Like a beetle code
Yeah.
that only they can see.
Exactly. Or it could be about camouflage. Imagine trying to spot a beetle with this weird, shimmery shift in color
Yeah.
against like a background of leaves.
It'd be hard.
Super hard to see. So it could be about confusing predators.
Not just blending in, but messing with their vision.
Exactly.
Tricky beetles.
And then there's the whole thing with phototaxis. That's how organisms react to light.
Okay, yeah.
Some studies have shown that circular polarization could actually influence how beetles move toward or away from light
So it
sources.
could be like navigation, helping them get around.
That's one possibility. And then there's even the idea that it could be tied into gene expression.
Wait, really?
Yeah, light can affect biological processes, right?
Yeah.
So maybe circular polarization is somehow involved in like regulating certain genes in these beetles. We don't know for sure, but it's a possibility.
Whoa. Okay, so light itself might be affecting their biology on that level. That's trippy.
It is.
Sounds like we have a lot to learn about why these beetles have evolved these abilities.
Oh, for sure. It shows how much we don't know about nature. Even something as simple as why is that beetle that color?
It's true. There are hidden wonders everywhere. But even if we don't know the why, the how is still pretty incredible.
Oh, absolutely. And the cool thing is, we might be able to use this knowledge to create new stuff. That's biomimicry, taking inspiration from nature to solve our own problems.
Biomimicry. Always a cool topic. So how could we use this beetle research? Like, what kind of applications are we talking about?
Imagine if we could copy those crazy chiral structures. We could make new types of optical devices, like super efficient reflectors or filters that only let through certain types of polarized light, maybe even color-changing materials.
Okay, that sounds pretty sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see that being huge for things like solar panels, maybe even those fancy new displays they're making.
Exactly. And think about sensing, too, like super sensitive light sensors or cameras that can see in incredible detail, all thanks to the beetle.
So we could basically harness the power of these tiny structures to make all sorts of cool new tech. Pretty inspiring, huh?
For sure. It's not just about copying nature exactly, though. It's about understanding the rules behind it and then applying those rules in new ways.
Right. So it's learning from nature and then building on that knowledge to make something new.
Exactly. That's why this research is so important. It's not just about beetles. It's about all the possibilities that open up when we pay attention to the natural world.
Okay. So before we get too carried away with the future of beetle tech, let's recap what we've learned about Protea mirifica and its crazy cuticle.
So we've got this layered structure, right?
Right.
Made of chitin, and it's arranged in this like twisted plywood pattern, which is the
Boulogne structure.
Boulogne structure, right. And inside those layers are those two distinct chiral regions, each reflecting light with circular polarization at certain wavelengths.
Yep.
And that's how we get that dark purple color with the metallic sheen.
And on top of that, the cuticle can act like both a mirror and a circular polarizer, depending on the light hitting it.
It's like the ultimate multi-tool, but in a beetle shell.
Seriously. That's nuts. So anything in this research that really surprised you? Anything you weren't expecting?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I was super impressed with how they figured out that whole pitch profile thing. You know, the pitch of the Boulogne structure.
Right, right.
It wasn't just about looking at the data from that MMSC thing. They actually used a math model to describe how the pitch changes as you go deeper into the cuticle.
So they, like, combined the real-world observations with a theoretical model.
Yep.
To get a better picture.
Exactly. And get this, the model they used was based on research on a different beetle, Chrysina chrysargyria. It also has circular polarization.
So they used what they knew about one beetle to help figure out this other beetle. That's clever.
Totally. It's like science building on itself.
I like that. So what did this model tell them about the pitch profile? Was it like a smooth change or something more sudden?
It was both.
Get out of here.
Yeah. The model showed that in some parts, the pitch increased gradually, but it also showed those jumps we were talking about, like big changes in pitch over tiny distances.
So it's like subtle variations and sudden shifts.
Yeah.
All working together.
Yeah. Pretty impressive. And their model matched up with the real world data, so it makes you feel pretty confident about their findings.
It sounds like they were thorough.
Mm-hmm.
But remember earlier we were talking about the bigger picture, like the evolutionary reason for all this circular polarization stuff.
Oh, right, right.
What did the paper say about
that? Yeah, I mentioned a bunch of studies that have tried to figure that out. And like we said before, there are a lot of different theories floating around.
Right. We talked about communication, camouflage, navigation.
Mm.
What specific studies did they mention?
Well, one study looked at this beetle, Chrysina gloriosa.
Okay.
And they found that it actually reacts to circularly polarized light. Like, it changes its behavior based on that kind of light. They call that a phototactic response.
Interesting. So did they compare it to any other beetles to see if there was a difference?
They did. They compared it to a close relative, Chrysina woody. It doesn't have circular polarization.
Ah, so a head-to-head to see how they each handle the light.
And it turned out, Chrysina woody, no special reaction to the circularly polarized light. So that suggests there's a connection, right?
Yeah, between being able to make that light and being able to sense it.
Exactly. It's like another piece of the puzzle pointing towards some kind of deeper meaning.
So it's not just a random thing. It's actually doing something for these beetles.
Right. But we were also talking about how it might not be the same thing for every species, right?
Yeah, maybe it has different uses for different beetles.
Exactly. And the paper actually mentions a study that kind of backs that up. It looked at four different scarab beetles, Anomala dubia, Anomala vitis, Cetonia errata, and Protea cuprea.
A whole beetle lineup. What'd they find?
Well, all four of those species have left circularly polarizing exocuticles.
Okay, so they all make the same type of circular polarization.
Yep. But when they watched how these beetles behaved around circularly polarized light, none of them seemed to be using it for food or for talking to each other.
So not a universal beetle signal, then?
Maybe not. Maybe it does different things for different species, or maybe for those four beetles, it doesn't actually do anything.
Maybe it's just a side effect of something else.
Could be. Or just a random variation, you know? Evolution is weird sometimes.
It really is. But then there was that study about Anomala corpulenta, the one that found a link to mating behavior.
Oh, yeah. That one's interesting. They found some evidence that that left-handed circular polarized light might be playing a role in how those beetles hook up.
So maybe it's like a beetle love song.
Could be. Like a visual love song.
Did they flash to each other?
Exactly. But they couldn't figure out exactly how it works, so more research is needed, definitely.
Always more research. But wasn't that the same study that found the link to gene expression, too?
Oh, yeah. That was a big one. It means circular polarization might be affecting those beetles on a deeper level, you know? Not just behavior, but their actual biology.
Wow. Okay. So it could be affecting stuff like how they grow, their metabolism, maybe even their immune system?
It's possible.
Wild.
It definitely adds another layer of complexity to this whole thing.
Okay, so we've gone from twisted plywood to beetle love songs to gene expression. That's quite a trip through the world of beetle cuticles.
It is, isn't it?
And even though we still have a lot of unanswered questions, this research is pointing to some pretty incredible possibilities.
Oh, for sure. We're just getting started with understanding this whole circular polarization thing. Who knows what else we'll find out about these beetles?
Before we wrap things up, anything else about this particular beetle that you thought was extra cool?
Actually, yeah. Remember that whole thing about the beetle cuticle being like a two-in-one, a mirror, and a circular polarizer?
Yeah. Still blows my mind, honestly.
Well, they didn't just observe that. They actually measured it. Like, how much of each effect was happening at different wavelengths.
So they put numbers on it.
Yeah. And they found that at the wavelengths that match up with those circular polarization bands, the cuticles almost entirely act in like a circular polarizer. The mirror effect is super weak at those points.
So it's like full-on circular polarization mode when it hits those specific wavelengths.
Totally. And then in between those bands and outside the visible range, it's mostly a mirror with not much circular polarization happening.
So it's not just sitting there. It's actively changing how it behaves based on the light.
Exactly. It's dynamic. And that's why the beetle looks the way it does. Those circular polarization bands, that's where that crazy metallic shine comes from. And then the mirror effect that adds to the overall color.
So it's like this perfectly choreographed optical show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all happening because of these tiny structures.
Exactly. It's amazing what evolution can do, right? Seriously, who knew beetles were this complex? This deep dive has really opened my eyes to just how incredible the insect world is.
Right. It makes you appreciate those little details.
Totally. So any last thoughts on this research? What are the big takeaways for you?
For me, it's the potential. Like what we can learn from these beetles and how we can use that to create new things. Biomimicry.
Nature's blueprint for innovation.
Totally. And the possibilities are huge. Like imagine if we could make materials as strong and light as keen, but that also have those crazy optical properties of the beetle cuticle.
Okay, yeah, now we're talking. That would be amazing. We could make lighter cars and airplanes, buildings that control their own temperature, maybe even clothes that change color.
Exactly. The possibilities are endless. And it all starts with curiosity, you know, paying attention to the natural world.
So the next time you see a beetle,
yeah,
take a second to really look at it.
What do you see?
See how those colors change in the light.
Yeah, think about all the crazy stuff happening on a microscopic level, all the physics and biology that makes it look that way.
It's pretty amazing.
You might just find yourself inspired by nature's creativity, just like we have been.
I hope so.
This has been an awesome deep dive. Thanks for sharing all your knowledge. I feel like I've learned so much about beetles and light and the whole biomimicry thing.
My pleasure. It's always fun to talk about this stuff.
And for everyone listening, stay tuned for more deep dives into the world of science and tech. We'll be back soon with another episode to blow your mind. It's crazy to think, you know. Like for years, scientists have been looking at these beetles, all these iridescent colors.
Yeah.
But only recently have we had the tech to really figure out how it works.
It's true. The power of science, right?
Totally. We might see something in nature, even describe it, but without the right tools, those deeper secrets are just hidden.
Like a locked box. You know it's something cool inside, but you can't get to it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We've been looking at the outside of the box for ages, but now with things like MMSE and some decomposition, we're finally unlocking it.
And who knows what else is out there? Maybe there's stuff in nature we haven't even noticed yet because we don't have the right tools to see it.
Whoa, that's a kind of wild thought. Like, even now, we're still just scratching the surface.
It is. That's what makes science so cool. Always more to learn, more to explore. Every discovery just leads to more questions.
For sure. And speaking of questions, this whole deep dive has me thinking about the future of biomimicry. Like, we've talked about the potential using these beetle structures to create new materials and tech.
Yeah, yeah.
But what about the next big thing? What's coming next?
Tough to say for sure. But if I had to pick one area, I think adaptive optics is going to be huge.
Okay, adaptive optics. Remind me what that is again.
So it's basically being able to control light really, really precisely.
Right.
Think of those super powerful telescopes, the ones that can adjust their mirrors to get rid of, like, atmospheric distortion.
Yeah. They can see those crazy faraway stars, right?
Exactly. So now imagine materials that can change their optical properties on the fly, just like the beetle cuticle.
Yeah.
Lenses that adjust their focus, filters that block specific wavelengths, surfaces that change color.
Okay, that's next level. We're talking sci-fi stuff now.
Yeah.
But that would be huge for imaging, communication, even energy.
Exactly. Imagine solar panels that follow the sun all day long, or windows that go from clear to opaque to control how much light comes in.
That would be amazing.
Right. And as we learn more about this beetle, we'll figure out even more ways to use its secrets to our advantage.
So this deep dive, it all started with a simple question. How do beetles make those crazy colors?
Yeah.
But we ended up talking about circular polarization, biomimicry, the future of tech.
It's amazing how something so small can lead to such big ideas, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest takeaway for me is just this sense of wonder. Like, there's so much beauty and ingenuity out there in nature, just waiting to be discovered.
Absolutely. And the more we learn, the more we realize how much we don't know. It's humbling, you know? We're just a small part of something much bigger.
So for everyone listening, next time you see a beetle, really look at it. Those shimmering colors, that incredible structure. It's a masterpiece of natural engineering.
And you might just find yourself inspired, just like we have been.
This has been an awesome deep dive. Mm-hmm. Thanks for joining us on this journey into the world of beetle cuticles.
My pleasure.
And until next time, keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep wondering about the world around you.